Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50. Luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Hoovering, the podcast about eating. I'm Jessica Fostercue. Here I'm joined by an interesting soul for snacks and sometimes full-blown banquets. We share conversation and confessions, not just about food, but about gobbling it up, or if you will, hoovering.
Hello, lovely ones. This is a really delightful episode and something a bit different, actually. A little bit, anyway. I'm hoovering with dream boy comedian Lee Peart, who, in the lockdowns, taught himself mixology. So it's a cocktail special. Hello, June. Bit perfect. What, am I right? Before we get stuck in, though, can I tell you a deeply meant, big, earnest thanks, mate, actually. Thanks for listening, thanks for subscribing, and thanks for all the 5-star reviews, and thanks for telling 3 people you work with about this podcast, the Hoovering Podcast. I can't believe you did that. Thanks, guys. If you're my patron, by the way, you're the absolute fucking tits. Thank you most. This podcast is almost entirely funded by Patreon. It's about 5% ads because we're classy and fussy, probably about 50% my pocket. And so the only way we can keep trucking and growing is if we grow the Patreon. To do that, I have really upped the good shit that my patrons get. If you've got even a few quid a month going spare, please do have a look. You can get loads of extra content, early episodes, ad-free episodes, free tickets to live stuff, birthday videos from me, all sorts of shit. Go to patreon.com/thehooveringpod. I will be so grateful if you join the ranks. This is me officially inviting you to come and see me hoovering live on the 10th of August at the Camden Roundhouse Comedy Festival. 7 o'clock it's on. You'll be away by 8:30 in time for an early night. You're welcome. I can't announce who it's with yet, but suffice to say my guest is a belter. If you're one of my mighty patrons, I've emailed you a code to get a discount on your ticket. Woohoo! If you're at Latitude on Friday the 21st of July, we're going to be hoovering live there too, in the listening post in the afternoon. How exciting, please. We might bump into Jarvis Cocker. And if you hate going out and just love listening, wrap your heart around my comedy series on BBC Sounds right now. It's called Sturdy Girls Club. Okay, let's have this lovely episode, shall we? It's such a joyful one. The only tiny warning is that at one point Lee mentions his desire for lean gains. So dodge that if you need to, but know that I did respond by involuntarily laughing out loud. So remember that that's him. It's just mentioned in the midst of some conversation around protein and various types of really classy cheese. Anyway, you've been warned. Lee invited us to his super cool home where all his cocktail making magic happens.
So I'm making a pecan tea.
I like the name of it. It's basically
Hot of the House.
Yes, basically it's a bit wanky. It's the Soho House recipe.
I love it.
So it's basically like a spicy margarita, but it's a Tommy's margarita. Yeah. So it has no Cointreau in. It's just agave syrup, lime, and tequila. But it has a touch of coriander and chili.
Oh my god, it sounds amazing.
Well, I'm a bit nervous.
Don't be nervous.
Well, I'm not nervous.
I don't even know what half the words you just said mean.
Yeah, it's supposed to taste like that. No, but chili, it's always hard with chili.
Yeah, I like spicy things. You can't overdo the chili for me.
Okay, that's great, because I'm not great with the spice.
Oh, okay. So, lovely.
If it's not spicy enough, we can always make it spicier.
Yeah.
Let's get started.
Get in! Did you make cocktails in a fancy way? Have you ever done this for work? And or is this just a hobby that you picked up in the lockdown?
The latter. So really? I couldn't think of anything worse than doing it for work.
Me, I feel like that about all food things, like how to ruin it.
Yeah, or also like...
By the way, I've just seen in top of your freezer and there's frozen glasses in there.
Oh my god,
one of the sexiest things I've ever seen, there's frozen glasses in your freezer. You've got a whole shelf just for glasses in there.
You've
got
to chill the glasses. During lockdown, I've always liked making cocktails. When I was at uni, it was like you would just pour a load of ingredients into a jug and call it a cocktail, and it would taste horrendous. But after four sips, you were pissed.
Yeah.
And like loving it. So during lockdown, there was just nothing to do, obviously, and people learnt languages and learnt to crochet. I learnt to make cocktails, and
I love it.
I think it's more useful than French.
Yeah.
For me.
Yeah, I mean, it helps you communicate much quicker.
It really
I love
does.
It.
I don't call myself, like, an expert by any stretch of it. I'm an enthusiast.
Yeah.
I'm a cocktail enthusiast. That's what I would say. I hope you like it.
I know I'm going to like it, darling. Even if we just have a sip.
This one's actually really easy to make.
Is it?
It's 60ml tequila, 30ml lime juice and 20ml agave syrup.
Wow.
That's it. It's a very simple recipe.
Yeah.
And then the coriander and the chilli.
The coriander's fascinating to me.
I know. And you know, my friend, I made them once for my friend and he was like, oh, I make them, but I don't use coriander. You don't need it. And when I made it, he was like, it gives a nice little touch.
Yeah.
I'm like, don't mess with the recipe.
It. Yeah, it's true.
Don't mess with the recipe.
Yeah, it's so true.
Do you like this as well? This is like...
That's so fancy.
It's only like £10. I'll describe it. It's a jigger. That's what they call a jigger.
Okay, okay.
But it's a precise one.
Ooh.
So rather than just having your 50ml, 25ml and whatever, it's got like 2.5, 1.25, 5, 7.5.
Oh,
so
it's crumbs.
Cocktails is all about balance. It's all about specifics.
Okay.
God, I need to get a life and a boyfriend.
I love that. You're making it sound like baking. It's like liquid baking.
But it kind of is.
Yeah, there's a chemistry to it, and the order of things, and how long things rest for, and all of that stuff.
Yeah.
Does it genuinely make a difference how you shake the... Shaker? Is it shaker?
Yeah. Shaker. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, took a punt.
The jury's kind of out on that, but it doesn't really, apparently. But no. I am quite specific about ice.
Okay.
So I like... If you're going to use, like, tiny, small ice cubes...
Yeah.
You'll get a really watered-down cocktail. Surface area of the ice is what I'm quite specific about.
Oh, I like that.
I've made three. The only thing is, I've made three, and I'm worried I've not used enough ice. Because this is what everyone
says. It sounds great. It sounds like... Sounds like a load of borrowers on tiny horses far away.
Because everyone's always like, less ice, I don't want it diluting. I'm like, you need more ice because it keeps it cold.
Yeah.
I'm on an ice crusade.
I want more
surface
ice
area.
Because it's 4:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah, to be fair, if it dilutes a little bit, it's quite good. Yeah. And you're working tonight.
I am working tonight. What am I going to do? It's just going to be like 30 minutes of me singing sea shanties before I bring on each new act.
Have you always liked a cocktail?
No, I haven't always liked a cocktail. I have had a go. I'm not very good. I don't have the patience, but the older I've got, the more I love a cocktail. When I was younger... when I first moved to London as a student, I remember really having quite like an aggressive aversion to cocktails. It just felt like a really expensive way of having a really small drink.
Yeah,
And actually, I think I was a quantity woman rather than a quality. And as I've got older, I don't drink anywhere near as much. And now I would much rather have something small but absolutely delicious.
Yeah, and also I do think, a little bit like food, over the last few years, we've kind of learned so much more about food and drink. Like, cocktails back in the day were just kind of... All I remember is like a Cosmopolitan or a Pina Colada, and it didn't taste good. I remember the first margarita I had, I was like, bleh. It was like
really?
Seawater. Yeah, because they just don't know how to make it.
Yeah.
Whereas, just for the purpose of the listener, I'm fine straining it so you don't get any coriander bits.
Oh my god, I'm so excited. This is so exciting. Thanks, Poppet. This is love.
Thanks for having me on. I'm glad we can talk about cocktails because I'm a little bit like you with cocktails. I don't have the patience really for cooking.
Mm-hmm.
But
fine,
I've actually found something that I enjoy making, one for myself and two for other people.
I love it.
Yeah.
What cool thing to have as your thing. I've got a lovely friend called Posh Brian. That's not what's on his birth certificate, but I've had an amazing few cocktail parties at his house. And he is similarly into it. And you basically, if you bring an ingredient, you know you're adding to this huge mix. And there'll be all sorts of
things. I shut myself in the foot. If you cook for everyone, you do that once, or maybe thrice if it's a three-course meal. Cocktails, they want them all night. I'm putting a shift in. I've not tried it, so I'm not sure how it is.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited. It looks so beautiful.
Oh, it's got a sweetness to it.
Oh, I'm really excited. I think the agave syrups are really fun.
Because tequila is made with agave.
Oh, is it?
And that's why we use agave syrup.
Oh, my God, the colour of it. I'm so excited about the citrus. I'm so excited about the first sip.
Well, I've got a little hack for you citrus-wise as well, which I didn't do today, but...
Woohoo! Cheers, my love. It's a given. Okay, good health.
Cheers.
Santé. That's stunning.
What do you like?
You get the lime after.
Mm,
you get sweet first, but you get the lime after. And I'm going to enjoy this more and more as that chili permeates it. Yeah, that's the word. I went for permeate, like osmosis. Yeah. Oh, my God, I love it. Mmm. Wow. And then the tequila's right at the end.
Yeah. It's
got such a nice finish. You don't get an alcoholic... You don't get like a burst of that kind of tiny little hint of boozy fire until... That's your very last for me.
And also it doesn't like go, like that's where I think the best cocktail is where you don't really know it's alcohol or you kind of don't go, oh God, that's strong.
I think again, another like childhood fuck up or attempt at was, did you have, for us, we had to go, I grew up on the countryside.
Where? And
Dorset.
Okay.
And so we, whenever I visited my cousins who lived in Kingston upon Thames, which is like, whoa, big city. We went to TGI Fridays when it had just opened. And that was like teenagers ordering when we could first, if we had a baggy enough jumper on and like, you know, the one of you that could grow a beard would lead us in, we'd be able to order cocktails with our lunch
and
there.
They
were massive, but also,
ones.
Oh, I don't remember that. But God, I remember just like picking at random an old fashioned and that being like, it felt like whiskey, brandy and something. It just felt like four brown drinks I didn't like any of all together, like a dragon, like horrific alcoholic, like too much. I couldn't do it.
Old fashioned is in my top three. Yeah.
Well, and now I wonder if I'd love it, but there needs to maybe be a sour element in there with all that fire for me.
Well, the way I make an old fashioned would be, because all it is bitters, sugar syrup and whiskey. But I express oils from the orange and a lemon.
Mm.
So I express that on
How
the
do you
top.
Do it? Just sort of, you're making a gesture, almost a milking gesture.
Yeah, so you just peel a little coin off the orange pith.
Okay.
Pith. And and you just kind of squeeze it. And if you get up close to a kind of orange...
Unwaxed one, obvs.
Exactly, yeah. And then you just push it and you see the oils... Come into the drink, but that's where all the flavour is.
Wow.
So this is where my
in the zest. Life. Same as in baking, the zest, it's all the flavours in the zest, not the juice.
Say. So if you're ever making...
And you can save the juice for going in the drinks.
Yeah, well, what I do with lime juice, if I'm ever doing like a batch of margaritas, for example, and I really want to elevate my lime juice, this is a good little hack.
Mm.
And if you've got time, zest a bit of lime.
Yeah.
and infuse it into your lime juice. So, like, whoa, if you're going to squeeze it the night before, for example, if you're making a massive batch, squeeze your limes the night before, refrigerate them, but zest a few of those limes and put the zest into that lime juice. And honestly, the next day, your lime juice is, like, next level.
Wow.
Because all the flavour's in the zest.
Oh, my God, that's amazing.
And that's why they do it with cooking.
Oh, I love it.
Have you... I'm single.
I cannot, having sipped this drink and looked at your beautiful face, understand why you're single. Well, I feel like maybe you've answered this with the thing about the patience for cooking, but on a scale of 1 to 29, how much do you care about what you eat and drink generally? Do you care about it? Do you get excited about it? Do you plan it?
So, I've always kind of said that I eat to live. I don't eat to
live. Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm not really a foodie. However, I have noticed in the past few years, I've started to get... Do you know what it is? I don't really get excited about food. Like, I always take the piss out of my friends because they're like, ooh, Friday and it's curry night. And
yeah.
I'm like, just calm down. Like,
really?
Yeah, I'm like, you know, it's fine.
Yeah.
But... So I've never, but I do get excited about cocktails.
Yeah,
so
okay,
I found my kind of thing.
Yes.
And drinks and whatever. But then I challenge
myself. But you do still eat solids.
I do. Yeah.
Yeah, few.
With lunch all day long.
Yeah.
But no, I went to a vegan restaurant actually.
Oh, yeah.
Called Tendril in London. It was lovely.
Whitbit of London. I said that strangely. Central, middle.
Right,
that's the middle.
Circus.
Okay, Soho, yeah. Soho-y Mayfair area.
But it was delicious, and I was really enjoying it. But what it was beforehand, all my friends were being like, "Oh my god, the best thing ever! Oh my god!" And I'm like, just let it happen. Let
yeah,
it happen, you know. However, I did make a beef Wellington once. I challenged myself because I don't really cook.
Yeah.
I made a beef Wellington and a raspberry souffle. And I have to say, I did it well.
So you're not that into cooking, but first round ever of cooking, you go for a fucking souffle.
My friends were like, this is typical.
You Johnny Big Potatoes just rocking straight in at souffle level. Fuck me.
Sure.
I've had souffles in Michelin-starred restaurant that ended up just tasting of an egg.
Oh, really?
Yeah, England, somewhere in Cambridge. Anyway. It was meant to be pistachio and it tasted of guff.
I followed, like, this thing. It was I filmed it for, like, YouTube or whatever, so it's kind of, like, a silly thing. But I wouldn't find enjoyment out of doing that for a dinner party. In fact, actually, I found enjoyment because my dad was like, this is brilliant, mate.
Oh, and get
him. So I was a bit like, oh, this is how guests feel when people like their food. But, oh, it's just, for me, it's not worth the hassle. I'd rather spend a bit more and have it brought out to me in a lovely restaurant.
Right, yeah, yeah.
Nice vibe. So I love all that. I love the vibe of a restaurant. I love nice food. And I am, of course, disappointed if the food's terrible.
Yeah.
But it doesn't particularly define me as, like, I'm a massive foodie.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is probably terrible to come on a food podcast.
No, I don't think it is. I don't think everybody can be like that. I think it's really interesting when... I've had it with a lot of dear friends and with partners and people I've lived with, especially when you get to notice it. But I think you don't get to choose whether or not you get... There's some people who get, like, this fucking wave of joy. Like you're saying, a bit like we will do from our comedy, that wash of achievement, those... But it hits. It either hits or it doesn't. And you've got, like, the cocktails, the comedy, it's plenty. As long as there's something in your life where you're getting... Where you're, like, where you've got this, like, fire in your belly, I think that's a nice way of putting it. And I feel like that about cooking and eating. But equally, I do know if I didn't have that, I'd have a lot more room in my life for, like, a fuckload of other work, etc., and other creativity.
Yeah.
Any passion is thrilling.
Well, that's... I've always thought one of the things that attracts me most about people who I've ever been attracted to have a passion.
Yeah.
Passionate about something.
Yeah.
My ex, he was so passionate about climate change and stuff like that. Like, I remember having a crush on a guy who... I remember once seeing he was on this iPad because he loved aviation.
Mm.
And I was on an iPad, like, scrolling Twitter, looking at gossip. And I was like, what are you doing on your iPad? And he had, like, this app which showed him all the planes all in the sky and was just following these planes. I mean,
incredible.
You know, like, when you're on a plane and it shows you where the plane is.
That is pretty cool, isn't it? I always assume it's, like, 4 hours out of day.
Yeah, but it's, like, at least it's our plane. You're like, oh, this is us. He watches every
single plane. Just any plane. He'd watch any plane.
But I remember thinking... I just love a passion.
You love a nerd, by the
I
sounds
a bit
of it.
I'm a nerd.
Yeah.
Yeah. I do want to, because I couldn't eat a meal. Well, I could maybe, but I'm not one that would go, It needs a bit more salt. I wouldn't know what it's missing if it wasn't great. Do you know what
oh,
I mean?
That's interesting. Yeah.
My friend can go, I think they need to add a little bit of such and such to that.
Very occasionally, but ultimately I think most things can always have... I like really love salt. So everything can have more salt. No, I don't think I'm foodie in that way. And I've never done... I have done a few cookery courses, but I didn't come away with any, like, massive new skills. Just a few, like, fascinating little tips.
Well, I bought for my friend once for her birthday a pasta-making Italian food thing.
Yeah.
Round. In fact, I think it was round.
Did you do it with her?
Yeah. Me and her went. And it was in someone's kitchen. It was gorgeous.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And she's Italian. And she comes... And you go around to her kitchen and she pours you, like, wine and whatever. And there was a group of about 8 of us. So we were making our own pasta and we were making different dishes.
Yeah.
So we're there and she's like, I'm going to divvy out, you know, the tasks you all have to do. Well, I got fucking lumbered with pulling the arses out of the prawns.
Oh,
like,
me.
Do you know when you're like...
Everybody else is making beautiful falafelli and you're pulling the shit pipe out the back of a prawn's
exactly.
anus.
Exactly. And I'm like, stood there like... And I was going, do you know what? We could rotate it. The prawn gets to go out everything. She's like, I don't know how you stick the prawns. She must have just known. In the end, I was like, I'll just have the wine. Thank you.
Oh,
the dishes
God.
We made were lovely.
Yeah, yummy. You've reminded me, I did one that was like dim sum making, and it was incredible. Like, but then I came away from it and I bought all the stuff, all the like little papers. I went to the Asian supermarket, I bought all the stuff you need. I had dinner party, I had everybody around. I bought a special. Yeah, exactly. I got a big new like frying pan that had a lid so you could do the frying and then the steaming. And we had like, but I only had 2 friends around. So there were 4 of us. I had a very tiny kitchen at the time. And but like, they were yum, so I just had to, like you were saying with the cocktails, I had to keep making more. So to, like, keep making more, because actually it's not that filling, it's tiny, they're tiny dumplings. And then after that, just never, I've never once made them again, probably for a decade now.
And I guess in restaurants like this, they can just boom, whack them out.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, the effort.
Because
I love sushi, so I'd love to go on a
Me
sushi
too.
Making course. I love that. I think that's my favourite takeaway, actually.
Yeah. Oh, God. But then again, I think, like, I also love the what feels like maybe, like, jigsaw building of those layers of flavours if you're putting together, like, a bento box of all those different things. I think that's so...
Well, that's the next level, isn't it? Where you can almost know what would go well together and experiment with that and just flavours.
Yeah.
That's what I'm impressed with cocktails.
Yeah.
Because I've made a few of my own where I've done, like, twists on stuff because I thought, oh, that might be nice. But the next level is going... I'm going to create my own cocktail.
Or even a tasting menu through the evening, if you have people go, well, we're going to start with this like light, fresh, aperitif-y type thing, and by the end of the night, you're onto those old-fashions and those, or however you want to do it.
Fantastic.
But, like, kind of do it like you have to do a cheese board in the right order, do your cocktail, tasting night. That's an idea for a future episode that we don't even need to record if you just want me round.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, great.
You've seen my cocktail... Also,
this is so delicious.
You saw my cocktail trolley.
Yeah, that's sick.
This cupboard, there's an overspill. There's an overspill.
Oh, I love it.
It's not all mine, by the way. Like, my flatmate, during lockdown, he also like drank a lot of cocktails.
Yeah.
But now he's on a bit of a health kick, so I'm just like, well, I must drink these drinks.
We can't have the things going off. Do you ever do this? I haven't spoken about this on the podcast before. I end up with... the older I get, the less I drink of alcohol. But I am now, just over the years, have collected... It feels like something, because it doesn't really go off. I mean, I'm sure it does. Anything with, like, Bailey's-y type thing would. But other than that, like, I've got bottles of stuff that I perhaps would have bought a bottle of because I needed a bit of it for a recipe or something. And I've got... There's 2 cupboards full of booze... and every now and again we'll go, we've got to put a shift in and have some fucking weird drinks that we don't like. When you really fancy a gin and tonic, be like, but tonight we're going to have a coconut and peach rum that someone gave us in 2004. I'm going to mix it with soda. Now, you probably can't bear to do it, but I will do it just to shift without wasting.
I know they say it doesn't go off, but I'm always a bit wary if it's been there for a while.
Really?
Well, some of them do go off. Apparently, vermouth, if you've had that for a while, you shouldn't. And fortified wine does go off. I feel bad because I opened one the other day and I'm like...
When am I going in that again?
Yeah. You need that mini bottles for that.
Yeah, so true. Champagne definitely goes off.
Yeah.
And loads of people don't know how to store champagne. That's funny, isn't it? It's not meant to be upright.
Well, this is what I've recently heard. It's meant to be...
on its side.
I was going to say downright.
Downright dirty champagne.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's on its side, otherwise the sediment all... Well, you make it, it gets fizzy by being turned a quarter every now and again on its side with a sediment all wrist.
World.
My dad used to work for Mert and Chandon when I was a kid.
How did you say that? What?
Mert and Chandon.
Yeah, so that's what I've heard. It's pronounced, because everyone says Moe, but it's actually, because it's, isn't it?
The
it
T from? Comes before an E.
Yeah.
So French. So it should be Moet.
Moet, yeah.
But what they're called, now they're called something like Moet Hennessy. They're like a five conglomerate mega company now. So, yeah, but it's definitely Moet. I remember getting bollocked about that ages ago.
Yeah, because I say Moet now and then they go, Moet. And I'm like,
oh, I think I'll have you know.
I'm going to direct them to this episode.
Yes!
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact... you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey-o. Just having a quick cheerful little interrupt of my own podcast to enjoy some of the answers you have furnished me with to my listener questions. Oh, I love this bit. I asked you to tell me about time that you ate something even though you had no idea what it was, and as ever, you wonderful lot have excelled. I mean, we've all been there. That's sort of, surely it's chocolate. It's got to be chocolate. It's got, I mean, it's good. It turns out I'm putting it in my mouth. What if it's not chocolate? What if it's not chocolate? Oh God, thank fuck it was chocolate. We've all done that. But why do we do that? Why do, anyway, here we go. Let's talk about the things you have eaten, even though you had no idea what they were. First of all, we've had a response from Tom Cullen, as in actual proper Hollywood actor Tom Cullen, who says, I was in Tokyo, jet lagged to fuck, and the crew I was working with took me to a yakitori bar. The bar was under a flyover and had about 12 seats and was such a vibe. It was incredible. It does sound very cool. He goes on to say, the Japanese crew members order. First dish arrives. Barbecued small spherical discs of meat on a skewer. Absolutely delicious. Asked what they were after devouring the lot of them. Turns out they were chicken's sphincter. He then says, yep, I ate a chicken's asshole, but genuinely so tasty I ordered more. I, for one, am a big fan of whole carcass butchery, and I think if you're going to kill a chicken, if we're going to eat the known, the popular, you know, the faddy, fashionable bits of a chicken, we're going to eat its bosoms, we should all probably try its ring piece, especially as Tom says that if it's cooked in this Japanese style, it is delicious. Love to hear it. Absolutely love to hear it. Alexi, sorry if I said your name wrong. This was a great one on social media. They once drank goose fat because they thought it was a glass of orange juice in the fridge.
That's a lot, isn't it? That is a lot. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Sarah J's had a casserole of sheep's testicles, had seconds even. No, when she found out that it was sheep's nuts in there, it turned her fully vegetarian. Oh, dear. I think in possibly the most disgusting answer anyone has ever given to any of my listener questions, Daniel Smith is taking that prize. He tells us, I've eaten maggot semen as I thought it looked like honeycomb. Well, I'm never going to look at the inside of a crunchy the same way ever again, Daniel. Fuck. Why does it look like honeycomb? Is that to persuade male maggot fancying maggots to be more keen about their male maggot partner birthday duties? Bex Luther on Twitter. She was in a Spanish restaurant and didn't speak Spanish. Spinning the wheel of fortune. I picked a dish at random, says Bex. Had no idea what it was until I got back to England. It turned out to be sea urchin. I didn't like it. And then here's my favourite bit of Bex's writing. Bex has written, no, sir. Did not like it at all. Well, I love that because we all know I really love to be called sir. What a brilliant bunch of answers. Thank you for writing in. There are more listener questions coming out all the time. Make sure you're following at The Hoovering Pod on Instagram and Twitter. And you won't miss any of these questions. We love, love, love hearing from you. Voice notes are our favourite. But all of these messages are wonderful. Thank you again so much if you got in touch. Back to the episode. Tell me about a time you ate something even though you had no idea what it was.
Weirdly, on Tuesday, we're at this vegan restaurant.
They
give you the plates and you don't really know what it is.
Oh.
It's a tasting menu.
Great.
I will tell you about the time I was in Switzerland. And my friend got a press trip to Switzerland. She's a blogger.
Oh, wow.
And so we went to Zurich and we went to this random hotel, which was in the middle of like a business park.
I know exactly what you mean.
Yeah.
I've stayed in hotels on business parks for gigs in Switzerland and in Luxembourg, and it's like being in a Playmobil city. It's like pop up, like it's made out of little bits of Lego. It's so bizarre.
Yeah, well,
it's very nice and clean, but it's like there's no permanence to it. It's utterly soulless.
Exactly. Yeah, it was that. But in the middle of this, was this hotel that we're put in. Gorgeous hotel. A Maserati came and picked us up from the airport.
What?
That was the airport transfer.
Wow.
And they said, we've given you a complimentary meal tonight at our Michelin-starred restaurant. 7-course tasting meal with wine pairing.
Oh, my God.
So some of the stuff I didn't know. I always remember. Now, me and this kind of mousse type thing, and I'm like... I didn't know what it was, and then the waiter's like comes up, tops up the wine. I'm like, "What's this? Pigeon mousse?"
Wow.
I didn't love it because then all I could see in my head.
You don't see a pigeon and think, "Mmm, yum, yum, yum." I think you could probably be pretty far on the road to post-apocalyptic starvation.
Yeah.
See a pigeon and be like, "Yeah, I'd probably hang on another few days."
That'd be nice blended.
Not as a liquid, not as a chunky liquid. Oh, come on.
I didn't know what it was, and I was being all prim and proper, nice and polite. I mean, it wasn't disgusting. I have to say. And also, I don't think it was a pigeon from like Trafalgar Square, right?
No.
Well, like, at least I fucking hope not.
Yeah.
One legged or whatever. But it was then afterwards I was like, oh God, I can't.
Yeah.
So, I can't remember what else that springs to mind, but other than the vegan restaurant on Tuesday. So there were a few courses that came up.
What could have been anything?
Well, one of them was potatoes, but in this kind of, and it tasted like crispy beef.
Oh, nice.
Just utterly delicious.
Wow.
So it could have been anything.
That's fascinating.
I mean, people have a go at vegans because it's just like... But I kind of want to go to a vegan restaurant.
Yeah.
And do like a blind taste test. And half the time you wouldn't know the difference. And I was so full.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's clever how they do it. They sneak it up on you with millions of tiny courses. But also I think the wine. I went recently to a place called Nico by Six, my... girlfriend got she got a voucher from her family for her birthday, and that was plus wine, and I've never done the plus wine. And actually
we couldn't keep up. So you just had these like lined up glasses, but actually, you wouldn't normally have that much liquid with that much food. So it was just like, oh God, can we have a little break? But also when you've gone somewhere snazzy, you don't want to be like, I'll just leave it. You want to, it was like, oh God, painful level.
Well, have you ever been to Amsterdam?
Yes, not for years.
So I went for my birthday years ago and we went to a place called the Supper Club and it fell on my birthday. We'd been out in Amsterdam in the day and we'd ended up, as you do in Amsterdam, it's legal at that.
Yeah.
Incredibly high. Okay? Yeah. So we get to this thing and we
need... Weed or shrooms.
Weed. Yeah. Like, had a cupcake. A bit.
Lovely.
Did that terrible thing when the first time we'd been, we're like, it hasn't affected
us. Oh, no.
We've got a bad batch. Let's get another one. So we nearly didn't make it to the supper.
Oh, my Christ.
I was like, what was powering me through was the fact that I'd put down quite a large deposit. Because yeah. This fancy seven-course meal. Well, I say course. Fucking hell. We were so hungry because of the weed.
Oh, no.
At one point, they brought over only half of this, and it was macaron. And we all looked at each other, and I said... Is that one of the courses? And it was. A tiny macaron was classed.
No, no.
And the person next to us, the group next to us, went early because they'd like had a whitey or something.
Yeah.
Like, and then I said, look, they've left their macaron. He slipped it into about five tiny pieces.
Oh my God, that's so heartbreaking.
So that was the opposite.
God, embarrassing.
Like, we couldn't be given enough food because sometimes these tasting menus are like literally a taste.
Yeah, that can get fucked as well.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
It's a nice balance to find. On that note, should we try a macaron? What's going on here? What's what? And where are they
really
from? They're really pretty.
Maison Pujon. Oh,
wow.
Which is just downstairs.
They also look like the Big Mac of macaron. They're massive.
Do you like this?
You go there. That's pink. There's brown, green and beige. I'm always sort of...
Oh, God.
I'm going to try it.
Just take a bite. You can leave it.
I'm going to try brown.
That's like a chocolatey one. I think that might be coffee, actually.
I love coffee flavour things. It smells biscuity. Which is like saying that wine smells grapey. I've put my thumb through it. Oh, wow. That's yummy.
I nearly got olives. There's an amazing olive stall on the market. And I have to say... They're the best olives I've ever tasted.
Wow.
And every time I go, she knows me now. I've kind of become that wanker. That
I love it.
Like, I know the market traders. and I said, oh, she was like, hello, darling. And I said, best olives ever. I'm like,
so oh.
But they are. They're like, so if the olive stall was out, I would have got us some olives to pick out because I love an olive.
I love an olive.
Yeah.
What are your favourites? I like this big green boy. It's called Nook. Beginning with a N.
That's what they've got. Yeah.
They're lovely.
She has, like, this these kind of wooden crates. And there's just olive after olive. And then she's got feta there. She's got vine leaves. It's kind of like this. It's like
I know exactly the sort of thing you mean.
You know, like a Tesco deli?
Yeah.
It's like
fancy.
Bougie.
Yeah, lovely.
And so I get a mix. And she has some that's stuffed with garlic. And, oh, just lovely. Lovely to pick out.
Is there anything that you believe... demands to be eaten in a particular way, like a ritualistic way?
Kit Kat.
Let's talk Kit Kat.
Like the side, I always eat like a Kit Kat chunky. I'll eat
I did need a bit more specifics about whether this was a chunky or a four finger.
Yes. Narrow it down.
Yeah,
so it's a chunky and it's bite the sides off.
Yeah. Do you mean carefully. The ends or the sides first?
The sides first. Then the ends.
Wow.
And then bite the top chocolate layer off. And then by the bottom chocolate layer off, which is the hardest.
You do get a bit... I've never managed that without getting a little bit of wafer.
Yeah, you do get a bit of wafer, but not too much.
Okay, fine.
You practice. Yeah. You're like, I'm going to need to see it in person.
Yeah, I want this proven.
and then just eat the thing. So I do like to do that. I'm quite ritualistic with that. I also like... One of my guilty pleasures in terms of food is I like to get a slice of... Gouda cheese.
Lovely.
So I buy the pack of sliced Gouda.
Yeah.
And I often like to get maybe like a salami or chorizo. Put that there. A little bit of mayo in the middle.
Oh, hello.
And a little bit of balsamic glaze.
What the fuck?
And this balsamic glaze, oh, I'm gutted. I can't find it anywhere. It's fig balsamic glaze.
Wow.
It's been discontinued.
Oh, where were you getting it? Same bougie store you get your olives?
My mum got it from some supermarket. Oh, okay. She went to, which she was like, it's been discontinued.
Oh, my crumbs.
But yeah, anyway, and then I'll roll up the gouda and the chorizo.
Like a sort of savoury like edible cigar. Like, cheesy treat, Thuy.
It's
hot dog.
And I tell you what I also love, and I'm whispering, I'm 32, I don't want to admit it.
Tell me.
A baby bell.
I have maybe a 2 baby bell a day habit.
I just don't, my friend said to me the other day, it's not your brand.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you think it's a bit off-brand for you to have baby bell?
Same size, same shape.
Yeah. It's my quite brand. Different nutritional content. I am. Do you know what I love about a baby bell? But also, you do PE like I do, weightlifting stuff. Mm. And one of my coaches put me onto baby bell. And actually, I'm going to say it. There's not many things where I prefer the light version or think there's any reason or point buying it. But I get the baby bell light. They are, if you're trying to not like constantly smash a load of meat all the time, like a really brilliant little sprinkle of protein in the middle of your day. And a lot of, basically, I had a really fascinating consultation with someone about how to best fuel all the exercise I'm doing. And they were like, just little bits of protein really often, rather than having like a massive, great big load here and there, like for muscle recovery. And a little baby bell every now and again, absolutely brilliant. I think it's 9 grams of protein in it or something. Yeah. And there you go. And you haven't had to have like a great big fuck off shake or some like faux grenade, like dust whey tasting bar. Like, yes, yeah, great. It's as close as you can get to real food that feels like a tiny little protein.
That's interesting, because my flatmate said the other day, because he's got into the nutrition side of it, and he said, oh, you should get Baby Bell Light. But my first thing was, I don't do light.
Yeah, no, me neither. For some reason, I think basically there's a bit more protein in them, weirdly.
Right, okay.
There's like 2 grams more protein, yeah. But they're probably even more processed. But I mean, a baby bell is going to be processed anyway.
No, what's the baby bell,
but whereas I think that I'm with you when it comes to yogurts and all those things, because essentially, if they've taken the fat out, they've added sugar, or they've added a pretend version of sugar that does exactly the same thing to your glucose anyway, or they've just added another process, so you're having an extra layer of processing on whatever you're eating. Whereas with baby bells, I think there's just like 2 grams more protein in the light ones. Weirdly,
I lose weight quite easily.
Right.
Annoying people.
But no, we're not annoying. It's annoying for you, I imagine, especially
well,
if
that's
you.
What I mean. Yeah. I can't put on. After the bloody vegan restaurant, I keep going on about this vegan restaurant. It was nice, but like after that, I looked at this MyFitnessPal, and it was like, you need a little bit more protein of the day, mainly because I couldn't add my things into it.
Yeah, because it weren't on the list to be like, I've had a foam made from. Yeah.
Because I hunched proteins in pigeon moose.
Yeah.
But I was like, I had a shake. But afterwards, I just felt...
I didn't want
because
that.
When you're eating good food, you have to eat a lot.
Yeah.
Pizza, you've got your calories like that.
Yeah.
It's not good for you, is it? I love pizza.
Well, it does. But it's not good for you. It's just a different nutritional makeup. I don't know. It's a really interesting thing, I think. But it's funny, isn't it? I think pizza gets, well, bad rap.
But lean gains.
Yeah. So you want lean gains.
Yeah, lean gains.
Just something about the way you said it really tickled me. No, I want lean gains. I just want lean gains.
But it's true because, you know, bulking season.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who will just eat loads.
Yeah.
And shred.
Yeah, that sounds horrible.
Yeah,
but I hear you. I think there's something very, like, you hear a lot of people talk about how horrible it is to restrict, and I'm someone who wangs on the fuck about that, and I'm not into it. I let all that shit go years ago in exchange for a happy life. But as equally, I can't. The idea of eating beyond fullness is also fucking gross. I think, because I, especially on this podcast, I think I shout the virtues of like intuitive eating, which is like very anti-diet industry, etc., anti all that noise that everybody has got to be smaller all the time, because I feel like that's the noise that shouts to me and to women all the time. But equally, the other side of the coin with intuitive eating is stopping when you're full, like stopping when you want to stop, and you make your peace with like
so many of us were brought up to like finish what's on your plate or to eat that thing even though you don't like it because your body needs it or whatever. And sometimes for kind reasons where families couldn't afford to do you something different instead. So you do just eat what you're fucking given. Like there are a million reasons why we don't eat intuitively, like not brought up to like eat when we're hungry, stop when we're full, have what we want and trust your body to want enough of the right nutrients, etc. And to all be really educated. But I think it's the other huge side of it is stopping when you're full and when you have to have something, if you are trying to like get more fuel in you than you want, it's grim.
Oh, it's a lot.
I just did a radio series all about weightlifting and women do all different types of weightlifting. And the one sort I could never do, and I just will never be able to do, is like competitive bodybuilding, where it's as much about controlling what you eat and when you eat. It's way more about that than it is about any the exercise, really. Yeah.
Quick fire questions.
What's the worst looking or smelling but best tasting thing you've ever eaten? I know what you thought of then. I could see it in your eyes. Should we move on? No, I can take that answer. Okie dokie. Most futuristic thing you've ever eaten?
Oh, can I have drink?
Like, yeah.
I had like a weird cocktail once where it was all smoking and it was like some sort of space.
Was it nitrous oxide?
Yeah, nitrous oxide. And it was all, and it came with a big bubble and you popped the bubble and then it all smoked. Yeah.
I love the theatre of it. Mm. What's the worst thing you've ever found in something that you were eating?
Recently, I ordered a pie, a langoustine pie with chicken. It was a weird mix.
Fancy.
But it came with a langoustine prawn, and they stuck the prawn out of the pie, almost like it was.
If you're listening, he's doing a really lovely impression of it.
I am, but almost like it was like, help, please.
Yeah. Did they put a little white flag in its paw?
They may as well.
Awful. Hangover, what are you having?
Oh, I love a ham and cheese toastie just a cheese toastie.
Lovely, simple.
A Barocca.
Yeah.
And maybe like a Lucozade Sport Berry or Coca-Cola.
Really specific. Absolutely lovely and quite specific in the way that I've really... Okay, I'm here for it. I'm absolutely here for it. No other option, would you eat a person?
If there was no other option, I don't think I would have a choice.
Got it.
Now it's time for the big then question.
Tables have had enough of being used and abused, and they set up a secret conspiracy across the multiverse to make us humans destroy ourselves, starting with all tables unwobble just one leg, so that people get so annoyed that they start doing murders sometimes, of their own table-rocking children even sometimes, and eventually tables start scratching lies into themselves to spread the fake news of Putin and Trump, and anyone at my school who said they saw me fingering Gary. It's an apocalypse. Everyone's fully feral and murderous. It's worse than that fungal zombie thing, and it's all because of table revenge. Luckily, it's all agreed to have never happened, but only if you, and weirdly it does have to be you, Lee, agree to do a 38-mile duck walk, all whilst muttering the entire screenplay of every episode of Line of Duty, including doing all the accents, but as I said, only ever quietly muttering. But it means your mouth's too busy for food stops. It sounds impossible, but you do it! You're a hero. You go down in history as the person who saved us from a really disgusting wobbly-legged table-induced apocalypse. Mm-hmm. Your reward is the adulation of all people for all time, a place in history as a god. But your reward in the moment is the feast of your dreams because you're starving because that took fucking ages and you weren't allowed any snacks. So it's not like a last meal, it's the opposite because you couldn't be happier and you couldn't be hungrier. It's a fantasy situation. You're hungry, you're happy, you're on top of the world, you're allowed a shower, you're allowed a reset. This is when exactly when you want to eat this and drink this. What would you... I'm going to put it in this order for you. What would you drink and what would you eat? And there's allowed to be a who, with and where if you want to sit the location and company.
I would have a margarita on the rocks with a dash of agave syrup and some lavender bitters in there.
Wow!
Just to elevate it with a half salt rim. And I would have, just to go with the margarita, I would probably have real kind of like cheesy chicken fajitas
Wow. Nice.
I don't want anything too fancy if I'm really starving. I just want something. I want kind of something like that.
Oh, sounds great.
Yeah.
What a lovely combo. Mm.
I want that right now.
I'm worried that the margaritas won't be up to your standards, but there's a really nice place just off Regent Street where I go for tacos and margaritas, and it feels like similar vibes, that like fresh but like quite wholesome but very like... I don't know how to describe it better than that food, but also just really lovely spicy salted margaritas.
Well made, mm. It's the best cocktail I've ever tasted.
Love it. Thank you so much for doing my silly podcast.
Thanks for having me.
Hoovering Podcast.
What a lovely man. He does the warm-up for loose women, don't you know? Bit of fun. He's kind and funny and a wonderful egg. Make sure you're following him, please. He's at It's Lee Peart on Insta. But more importantly, make sure you see him live as well as following him, please, because he's extra awesome at stand-up comedy. Don't forget to come and see Hoovering live in August at Camden's iconic Roundhouse venue, who are running their first ever comedy festival, 10th of August. But the whole thing, the whole festival looks lush. Follow us on social media at The Hoovering Pod. I'm on at Jessica Fostercue. Send us voice notes, pictures, WhatsApps to 07462 855271. Email us, thehooveringpod@gmail.com. I'll be storing all your beautiful offerings up and discussing them in future episodes. Keep an eye on our social media for any specific questions and topics that we'll be asking you to contact us about. Links to everything interesting mentioned today are, as ever, in the podcast notes. Hoovering is presented and created by me, Jessica Fostercue. The music is by Jake Yap, and it was produced by Laura Grimshaw. Until in 2 weeks, happy Hoovering.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.